The Godfather versus Succession, a masterclass in power, loyalty, and family.
Are you a loyal Godfather fan? Then you've come to the right place. This is Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast. Here we talk about everything Godfather, from the movies to the effect on our culture. Still going strong 50 years later. Here's your host, author, and Godfather expert, Lou Bortone.
Welcome to Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast. We've returned from our involuntary hiatus just in time for the premiere of the fourth and final season of the HBO drama Succession.
You've won because you're corrupt and so is the world.
Oh, fuck off.
Have I got fucking love?
You bust them here, guns in hand, and now you find they've turned to fucking sausages. You talk about love?
Now, obviously, the transition of power is the central theme of both The Godfather and HBO's Succession. And while the legendary film and the modern-day drama are five decades apart, both are textbook studies of power, loyalty, and the complicated dynamics of family relationships, especially when the business is the family and the family is the business. So, in honor of the final season of Succession, which begins this week, and the 51st anniversary of the release of The Godfather, also this week, this special episode is going to take a look at the similarities and subtleties between Succession and The Godfather. Both stories can teach us much about the burden of power and the struggles and intricacies of passing the torch from one generation to another. In The Godfather, the powerful Corleone family are forced to confront the issue of succession when Don Vito Corleone is gunned down and incapacitated, thrusting the eldest son, Santino, into the leadership role as head of the family. Meanwhile, Don's youngest son, Michael, initially and intentionally seeks a different path, wanting nothing to do with the family business.
That's my family, kid. It's not me.
Michael goes to college and later enlists in the military during World War II, much to the dismay of his father.
What are all these Christmas ribbons for?
For bravery.
What miracles are there for strangers? Just a minute, please. I want to talk to you. What are your plans when you get out?
Finish school.
That's fine. I approve of that. Michael, you never come to me as a son should. You know that, don't you? But when you finish school, I want you to come and talk to me because I have plans for you. Understand?
However, Don Vito's assassination attempt pulls Michael deeper into the family. When a second attempt is made on the Don's life at the hospital, Michael realizes that his duty and loyalty to his family is far greater than his hopes for choosing his own future. While at the hospital protecting his father from being killed, he utters what are arguably the four most important words in the movie.
I'll take care of you now. I'm with you now.
I'm with you now. And with those four words, the torch is passed and Michael's destiny is forever changed. After the second attempt on his father's life, Michael proposes a bold plan that will set the rest of the story in motion by suggesting that he, the college boy, will kill both the mob rival Sollozzo and the corrupt police captain McCluskey. Sollozzo requests a meeting with Michael, and the mobster isn't threatened by Michael because he knows he's a civilian and not involved in the muscle end of the family business.
They want to have a meeting with me, right? It will be me, McCluskey, and Sollozzo. Let's set the meeting. Get our informers to find out where it's going to be held. Now, we insist it's a public place, a bar, restaurant, someplace where there's people so I feel safe. They're going to search me when I first meet them, right? So I can't have a weapon on me then. But if Clemenza can figure a way to have a weapon planted there for me, and I'll kill them both.
So Michael uses the element of surprise to kill both men, thereby sealing his fate.
E mettiamo tutto a posto. Sti fissaria. Siete va finiti.
Michael is then forced to flee to Sicily while the five New York crime families plunge into an all-out mob war. Meanwhile, Sonny, as acting Don, lets his hot temper and impulsiveness get the best of him, resulting in his spectacular demise at the toll booth. After Sonny's brutal massacre, and with his father now older and weaker, Michael must return from Sicily and take his place as the head of the family.
Pop, what about Sonny? What about Sicily?
I swore that I would never back to peace.
But won't they take that as a sign of weakness?
It is a sign of weakness.
You gave your word that you wouldn't break the peace. I didn't give mine. You don't have to have any part. I take all responsibility.
Switching back to modern day and another wealthy and powerful family, Logan Roy, played brilliantly by Brian Cox, is a self-made media mogul who oversees his media empire, Waystar Royco. The series begins with an episode where the aging patriarch is set to pass the reins of the company to his son, Kendall. But Logan pulls the rug out from his would-be successor and decides to stay at the helm, humiliating and alienating Kendall in the process.
So come on. When will you be ready to step down?
I don't know. 5?
5 years?
10.
10? Dad, seriously.
It's my fucking company.
Yeah, it is your fucking company. And you know what? You're running it into the fucking ground.
This sets into motion the epic power struggle between Logan and his 4 adult children, with each now vying for control and influence over the family business. Unlike the reluctant Michael Corleone, who never wished to become the Don, the Roy children will do anything. Lie, cheat, steal, stab each other in the back, whatever it takes to become the successor to their aging and ailing father.
Siobhan, are you part of this family or not?
My hunch is that you're going to get fucked, and I've never seen Logan get fucked once.
I do love you. I love all 3 of you pricks, but what do I get from you chumps but chump change? Fucking chump change. But I am the eldest son of our father. I am. Hey, Dad. I nailed him. I am the only child you'll ever need. You can kill the others. Love you.
Godfather director Francis Ford Coppola has described The Godfather as a Greek tragedy, calling it a story of a king with 3 sons. But the Corleones have nothing on the Roys when it comes to Shakespearean drama or shocking plot twists. The first season of Succession finds Kendall attempting to oust his father and mount a hostile takeover, but Logan Roy, as always, prevails.
All in favor of the vote of no confidence in Logan Roy?
Me. My hand is raised.
Oh, no shit, Judas. You better be smelling your fucking armpit, Romulus.
It's my fucking company.
You are a fucking nobody.
Later in season 2, when Logan decides to offer up the now obedient and submissive Kendall as the sacrificial lamb in a major company scandal, Kendall shocks the family when he goes rogue at a press conference and betrays his father, calling him a malignant force in the company and setting up a new season that pits Kendall against both his father and his siblings.
The truth is that my father is a malignant presence, a bully and a liar, and he was fully personally aware of these events for many years and made efforts to hide and cover up. He had a twisted sense of loyalty to bad actors like Lester McClintock.
Fuck me.
Disregard for the safety of migrant workers, non-union and union workers, and for vulnerable performers and guests. My father keeps a watchful eye over every inch of his whole empire. And the notion that he would have allowed millions of dollars in settlements and compensation to be paid without his explicit approval is utterly fanciful.
The acrimony and backstabbing continues until Logan, in a surprise move, decides to sell the company out from under the Roy children, leaving them high and dry and setting up this year's final season.
This is the best moment to sell.
And what are we supposed to do?
Make your own fucking pile.
Dad, once Mattson is calling the shots, we're fucked.
I've got you. Come on, let's discuss.
Hey, Dad,
he rates you. You have my word. You can trust me.
You can't. Do not do this, please.
And we will stop you. You need our vote for a change of control. Yeah.
You morons! Your mother and I have been reviewing the terms of the divorce agreement.
Mom, you fucked us.
And we've
I'm sorry. I love you all.
You bust in here, guns in hand, and I fucking win.
While both The Godfather and Succession explore the darker side of power and the consequences of pursuing it at all costs, there's a strong loyalty at the core of The Godfather. While the Roy family are more willing to sacrifice their own family members to gain any advantage in their relentless pursuit of power, the Roy family, unlike the Corleones, are far more dysfunctional and are plagued by infighting, rivalries, betrayals, and ever-shifting loyalties and schemes. The Roys seem to borrow a page from the Godfather playbook, keeping their friends close and their enemies closer. While the loyalty of the Corleone children to their father is never in question, each son has his own fatal flaw. Sonny is impulsive and hot-headed, leading to his downfall. Fredo is weak and dumb-witted and becomes a liability to the family, while Michael initially wants no part of the family business. Ironically, Michael's transition from outsider to ruthless, cold-blooded, and powerful new Don is the most dramatic and perhaps most tragic turn. Of course, Succession offers a more cynical view of family dynamics, but one that makes for wildly entertaining viewing. The true passing of the torch in The Godfather occurs in the poignant and powerful garden scene between Michael and his father. The garden scene in The Godfather is a masterclass in filmmaking and storytelling. It's a pivotal moment that marks the transition of power from Vito Corleone to his son, Michael, and it's one of the most memorable scenes in cinematic history. But what's even more impressive is how it came to be. Director Francis Ford Coppola was under immense pressure to shoot the scene because it was Marlon Brando's very last day on the set, and they couldn't afford to pay penalties if he had to stay overtime. The problem was that the scene wasn't even written yet. Coppola had been working on it for months, but it just wasn't coming together. Enter Robert Towne, a renowned script doctor who was called in at the last minute to write the scene. He worked through the night and delivered the script by 4 a.m. Scene was then printed on big cue cards and delivered to Brando on the set. The result is a scene that's both poignant and powerful, as Vito Corleone reflects on his hopes for Michael and the family business. It's a scene that ultimately symbolizes the passing of the torch and the transition of power.
I want you to arrange to have a telephone man check all the calls that go. You know,
I did it already, Pop.
You know, good man.
I took care of that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
What's the matter? What's bothering you? I'll handle it. I told you I can handle it. I'll handle it.
I knew that Santino was going to have to go through all this. And Fredo. I never wanted this for you. I worked my whole life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool. Dancing on the string held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that... But when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone, something.
Another peasant of Anta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there.
The sweet moment between father and son is in sharp contrast to Logan Roy and his children, who seem to spew venom at each other at every turn. We'll leave it up to pop culture history to decide which family is ultimately more ruthless. You can see the final season of Succession now streaming on HBO. So that's it for this episode of Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast. If you like the podcast, please do me a favor and write a quick review for us on iTunes. And be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is at Lou Bortone Video on YouTube. And remember, just like Don Corleone, I know how to return a favor. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast with Lou Bortone. Join us again next time if you know what's good for you. Gabish.